Adam, would you just repeat what you asked me or said to me, something about control? Give him a mic, please.
Hi. Yeah, I was asking Arjun if during his exchange with the people on this side, the salespeople, if part of his goal was to convey superiority or mastery of the situation. And
my answer to him was no, that was not my intention at all. And then Adam said something else about control, and I said the only control that I was looking for was control over myself. Control over my feelings so that I didn't get dragged into or dragged around with everyone's stuff. Did y'all notice that the conversations all went, even though they all sort of followed the same basic trajectory, they all went zigzag. They're all over the place, right? That's because I wasn't trying to control it. I wasn't like trying to get them to say this or trying to get them to say that or trying to follow a script. I just kind of knew the main things I wanted to know. And because I wasn't emotionally involved and because I was able to control myself, I was able to give them the freedom to kind of wander a little bit and find their answers. Does that make sense? Okay, so Kevin, do you want like a proper introduction? So Kevin, a.k.a. K-Rod, a.k.a. Whole Foods, a.k.a. That's it? I'm sure we'll come up with something else before we're done. So 6 months ago, I was checking out of the Whole Foods grocery store. I don't usually do my own shopping, but sometimes I like to. And I was checking out of the Whole Foods grocery store, and what do they call them, bag technician? Cashier's assistant asked if I wanted help getting my two carts up to the car. And I said, sure. And so by the time we got to the top of the escalator, they have like an escalator that takes the cart, and then you stand on the other one. By the time we got to the top of the escalator, he had engaged me in conversation, which I was not giving any indication whatsoever that I was in any mood to talk. But he had engaged me in conversation, and he had the courage and the internal fortitude and the curiosity to ask me a bunch of questions about me, about what I do, and then ask for some advice for himself, for his life, from a total stranger who he just bagged his groceries. And I guess, you know, based on what I paid for the groceries, he sort of guesstimated that I might be someone worth asking this question to. By the time we got to the car, he had completely got me out of my shell. And I said, if you really want to make money and have control over your life, there's really no better position than sales. Sales gives you ultimate control in any business. And the one piece of advice that I would give to all of the non-dragons who brought your salespeople here is don't let them get too much better at sales than you are. And that's not meant that you should like handicap them or stop them from growing. It just means you need to keep growing with them. Because if you don't keep growing with them, they will someday own your business. And that is a promise if they're really good. It's incumbent upon you as a person who employs salespeople to be, get, and remain good at sales. So I told this to Kevin that about sales, and I gave him my card, and I said, if you're interested, give me a call. And I didn't think about it again until a couple days later, he gave me a call or sent me an email or whatever. And we then sent him the quiz that we give to our prospective salespeople, which a few days later he gave us back, he sent us back the quiz. And it was obvious from his answers that he had never really sold anything before professionally, but I mean, shit, this kid did the sales quiz and the answers weren't horrible. They just were, you know, indicative of not having a lot of experience in that area. So then we said, okay, so there's this book called The Ultimate Sales Machine. Read it, and after you're done reading it, call us and come in for an interview. Chet Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, The Ultimate Sales Machine. I can summarize the whole thing for you in 2 seconds. So a week or two later? So like 2 weeks later, put your mic on. So like 2 weeks later, he sends my then assistant, an email saying he had read the book, and we brought him into the interview, and then proceeded to pummel him. And I just want to say for the record, there is no evidence that Kevin peed his pants during the interview. That is a rumor. I don't know who started it, but it's not true. We were literally pummeling him during this interview. I mean, we were going at him hard and heavy. At one point, we had two of us, and like before he could even get the answer out, the next one was on him with the next question. Bam, 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 bam. We wanted to see how he handled the pressure. And here he is. I really take to heart, if you can't take the abuse I give you here, how are you supposed to take the abuse you get out on a sit? And Kevin took it, so you guys can take it too. Kevin is going to give a quick lesson to the non-dragons on something you need to do with your phone. Because what we're going to do is the non-dragons are going to play the role of prospective clients, and we're just going to kind of mix and match, and you're going to do different role plays. You're going to use, would someone give me one of the cell phone things? Chris Anderson, would you like to demonstrate how this works? I left my cell phone back there. Does anyone have a cell phone? You just do this. And it holds your cell phone.
No? Come here. You just attach it with the long end facing the back, put it on the bottom, and leave your phone standing up. So it rests like this. Is that visible to everyone? Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
No? She says no. Apparently, we are not agreed on how we crack the egg.
Oh.
Figure it out however you want to get your cell phone propped up so that it shoots a video from your perspective on the salesperson. The main thing is it's shooting on the salesperson. You'll get them. You don't need them right now. You shoot on the salesperson from your perspective of the prospective client. We don't need to see you as the prospective client. We only need to see the salesperson because we want to watch their body language. You follow me? All right. After Kevin is done, so you're gonna shoot the recording, and then we're going to draw names out of a hat, draw straws, whatever, and upload the video that you shoot to a special
group on Facebook
that Kevin's going to show you how to do this. And you'll upload the video, and then we will watch the video and critique the video. Go to the bathroom and do it all over again. And basically, this is the next 2.5 days. this is pretty much what we're here to do for the next 2.5 days, is to give you guys just back to back to back to back to back to back to back intensive experience having sales calls. Got it? All right.
Cool. So does everyone here have Facebook? No? Well, if you guys don't have Facebook, I'm going to need you to create one. But first of all, after you finish creating it, download the Facebook app on your phone. If you have an iPhone, go to the App Store. If you have an Android, go to Google Play. You guys have your phones out?
Go through the we're doing this step by step. Yeah. Like, take out your phone and follow the steps, because when we're done with the steps, we're going to send the dragons out of the room. I'm going to give the prospective clients some training on how to be a good prospective client in these exercises. And then we are going to go to work.
All right, so if you don't have the Facebook app on your phone, please install it. And for those of you that already do, I'm going to run you through the second step. Please go to the search bar and look for how to train your dragon /HTM, exactly the way it's spelled up there. Same page? Okay. Perfect. Okay. That's fine. For the second step, I'm just going to ask that you join the group. It should be right there. A little icon.
Renee does.
Oh, you need to download the app. She has to download the app.
I have to download it?
Yeah. Puedes preguntar que vayas al App Store y encuentres Facebook.
Facebook.
Sí, y por medio de ahí, lo... Sí, por favor. Just make sure you're on the page.
Use it, right. Okay. We should know that.
Yeah, are we all on the same page? All good? Good? Okay, cool. So for those of you that have already been approved, when you guys do your presentations, right next to the little bar bar that says write something on the page, on those three little dots, press that, and you're gonna see start live video. That's how it looks like if you're on an iPhone or an Android.
Oh, that's what that other screen
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Excuse me? Sure. So when you're on the page, on the Facebook group page, where it says write something, to the right of it, you're gonna see three dots. And when you press that, yeah, you're gonna see start live video. So, after you open up the start live video, you're gonna record your sales presentation. You're just gonna press the blue button. Yeah. Okay. If you guys need help, like, I can walk around.
No,
yo
tengo que recuperar la clave.
Sí. Yeah, are we pretty much on the same page? Like, everyone's gotten up to this point? Everyone knows how to start the live video?
No?
No? Okay. All right. Give me a second.
Okay.
The app. You can also connect to the one. Hold on.
You did? We're one step ahead.
Okay. So you won't actually start recording your live video until you do your presentation?
I did it this morning.
You already did your?
Just the practice
one. Oh, just the practice one. Yeah, so you know how to use it. Okay.
Yeah, she did it too.
Okay. So when you guys have it, go through these steps, press start live video, and you're gonna see a blue button that says go live. Does a countdown, 3, 2, 1, and from there, it starts recording. After that recording is done, just click finish and click post, and it will only post to the group. Only post to the group, so no embarrassing videos, okay?
Sure. I've never done that.
that's pretty much it. If you guys have any questions, I'll be around. You can ask me for help. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward. Hey. Alfredo. Yeah, and then the password is cell.
We're still waiting.
Yeah, S-E-L-L, yeah.
Install.
Okay.
So
oh, perfect, yeah.
Try touching it again to pause it, and then start it again.
That's fine. But you already have it on your phone, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do I have to do?
So
just start a live video.
Yeah, just start a live video. Okay, I'm going to run it through you as well. When you're on the page, you're just going to press these three dots.
Almost. Good. Chelsea, whatever you need to do is done. Okay. So,
but this isn't streaming publicly, right?
No.
Just
for the dragons, I hear someone talking. Oh.
You can exit for now.
Kevin, your mic is on, and I hear Adam talking to you. For the dragons, you are going to sell basically what you sell. Got it? So if you normally sell bankruptcy services, you're going to be selling bankruptcy services. If you normally sell family law services, you sell it. Got it? The only thing you need to do is let the person that you're role-playing with know what it is you sell so they can understand the role they need to play. For this round, we're going to assume that the sale is taking place in your office. The sales meeting is taking place in your office, in your conference room, or wherever you normally have your sales. Just let the person know the environment. If there's anything unique, they need to know about it, right? And that they arrived with a scheduled appointment, and that the appointment was scheduled for 20 minutes. Because you're going to have 20 minutes to do these exercises, and in about 20 minutes, we're going to ring the bell, and then you're going to break, and you're going to upload the video to the channel, and then we'll pick, and while it's uploading to the channel, we'll pick who's going to go, who's going to go on the for the review, for the critique. And then we're just going to kind of get into a cadence of it where the prospective client will rotate to a different dragon each time. So I don't want you role-playing with your dragon. Role-play with someone else's dragon and just rotate it each time, just so you're not always hitting the same person. We got it? Okay. Dragons, leave the room for a few minutes. Just step outside. Don't wander. You can leave your stuff. You can leave your stuff. I just need to talk to the people doing the role play for a minute. I don't think we have any really unusual practice areas. It's a pretty standard spectrum of practice areas. The only one that might be a little bit out there is Carrie and Adam's practice, which, did everyone read the article in the New Yorker? Did anyone not read the article in the New Yorker?
No, I think I'm thinking of different articles.
Who read the article in the New Yorker? Who knows what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Allison knows what I'm talking about. Chris knows what I'm talking about. Henry knows what I'm talking about. Okay, so Adam, just brief everyone real quick on your practice area.
Okay, so
We all know Carrie. Do me a favor, just take the mic.
Sorry. As I was saying, our practice area involves non-consensual pornography, sexual consent, which means working on Title IX cases against public schools and universities, and kind of other cyber harassment. So it's the connection between all of our cases is that it involves someone who's under attack, and helping that person get through their situation as best we can.
So what's a typical scenario that a client would come to you with, so that they can play it as real as possible?
Sure. So a realistic internet scenario, which is one Carla, who's our dragon today, may want to deal with, would be a client who has found out after 4 or 5 years that nude pictures of them, or if you're a guy, you could do your daughter, because sometimes we do get phone calls from people's fathers to find out after 4 or 5 years that pictures of you are circulating on the internet, and that there's been an imposter Twitter account that has been pretending to be you and contacting people you know on social media, or that people have taken your face and grafted it on naked body of a nude model.
Who's typically the perpetrator?
There's a range. The stereotype is that it's an ex-boyfriend, but our experience says that's not always true. Sometimes it's just an obsessed guy, and sometimes we can't figure it out. It truly is a stranger. So, but for the sake of argument, we can call it an ex-boyfriend.
Okay, so whoever's going to role play first, who's going to role play the client for them first? Does anyone want to volunteer?
Thank you.
Okay, so you're going to volunteer. So let's give her a situation so she can kind of play it.
Sure, thanks.
You have an ex-boyfriend. You and your ex-boyfriend had some intimate photographs or videos, and you've broken up with him. And it's a year later, or it's right away?
Let's call it a year later, and you've discovered, to your surprise, that these intimate pictures are kind of lurking on some dark corners of the internet. And to add to the complication, you're not sure where exactly they're living. You've been told by some stranger on Facebook that they exist, and maybe you found a portion of them, but you don't know how widely distributed they are. You're not positive it was your boyfriend. You don't have evidence. Your inclination is he's the only one that did it, but when you confronted him, he denied it. That would be a pretty typical fact.
How old
pattern.
Is she? What age range?
We'll call her 20, so that she was an adult when the pictures were taken.
But what is the typical age range?
It does vary widely, but many of our clients are in their early 20s, I would say.
Okay, so you're in your early 20s. This went down. What does she do for a living? What is her educational level? Tell her what her life is like.
Sure. You're a university graduate of respectable state school.
Yeah.
UNC, and you are in digital marketing, and you're concerned that this is going to affect your job prospects, because you're Googleable. And
so it's like her first real job out of college.
Okay. That's right.
Don't get hung up on UNC. Don't get hung up on digital marketing. Make up whatever you want. Just understand the basic profile is you're in your early 20s. Only person you can imagine could possibly have been responsible for this is your ex, because it was on his phone. And now you're entering the job market after college, and you're concerned not only for your reputation, but you're also concerned about your job prospects and how this might affect your career. Does her family know? Do her friends know? Does she have shame? Is she embarrassed?
Yeah, I'm sure all those things.
You can play it?
You know the character?
Yeah,
good, you got the character.
My question is, though, did I find it by searching for it? Is it something that I could find on my own, or the only way I would have been able to find it was somebody on Facebook alerting me?
either one happens in our experience, I would say that what is consistent is that most clients can't find all of it and don't know the extent to which it's there. And
they remember there was more, they just can't find it.
Right. They know
the mugshots, they keep popping up, you don't know where they are.
Like the mugshots.
Okay.
It's like the mugshots, but there's a different layer.
And what is she trying to accomplish? What is her home run solution?
Her home run solution is for her Google results to be cleaned up and for her naked images to be taken off.
And what are her objections going to be?
Objections?
To hiring your firm.
Price.
Okay.
That her primary objection is going to be cost, and that she has a father that could help, but or parents, excuse me, and doesn't want to know. You don't want to sue anyone.
Okay. Yeah. You just want to help getting this removed. It's almost like an IP infringement action.
That would be a big part of it.
Okay. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anyone else? Allison, who is your dragon?
Deborah
is your dragon.
Can I ask a quick question? Is it helpful at all if there's like immigration lawyers that are working with another immigration person because it's they understand the subject matter, or you'd rather it be completely different?
The subject matter has nothing to do with hiring an immigration lawyer.
Right. I just didn't know if maybe like the questions would be harder maybe to ask someone. Or
it doesn't matter because the client didn't go to law school. That's the whole point. This is the whole reason why lawyers have such a hard time with sales and why non-lawyers actually have an easier time with sales, because the non-lawyer is entering the conversation at the same level that the client is already at. The lawyer is trying to enter the conversation as a lawyer. And the client doesn't know any of these technical things.
It would be better if we don't do something that we have familiarity with. Then.
Yeah. I'm hoping that this is an unfamiliar practice area for you. Yeah.
Well,
for actually. Allison, you have kind of an unusual practice area. Deborah is your dragon. You want to just give everyone like a little quick brief synopsis. Why don't we go around just real quick, each of us introduce each other to kind of a typical client or scenario that you want everyone to know and to sort of channel this person. So Renata.
Okay, so our firm handles immigration cases for primarily investors, entrepreneurs, and business people coming from overseas to either acquire a business or expand their businesses. So just to make it a little bit more challenging, maybe think of someone who is limited in funds but wants to still come to the U.S., is not clear on exactly what they want to do in the U.S. They just know that they need to move from their country.
What's their motivation?
Their motivation is a better quality of life for their kids, that their kids are able to go outside and actually play in a playground or even in their front yard without being kidnapped, without being harmed in some way.
What are their objections going to be?
Let's look at objections in terms of price and legal fees.
Do they have realistic expectations or unrealistic expectations?
Realistic.
Okay. Can everyone play this character? Anyone can't play this character? Okay, next, Gary.
Gary Medlin, we do criminal defense. Typically clients are wanting to get representation to make sure they don't lose their job, don't go to jail, get their record clean so their future is not affected, and typical objection is price.
Criminal defense. He does criminal defense. Typical, yes?
Making their decision. And it's like they have to think about it, they're not sure, they have to think about their tax consequences and the accounting and...
Is it that they legitimately need to think about it or they just are afraid to make a decision?
They're afraid to make a decision.
So there's no legitimate reason why they shouldn't make a decision?
Sometimes there may be.
But many times there isn't.
Yeah.
And we're trying to help your dragon deal with the person who really doesn't have a legitimate reason not to make a decision today.
Right.
Because
regardless, even if it's a very legitimate reason for them to delay it, it would be something that we would help them with through the process.
Right, so any legitimate reason they have for delay is basically all the more reason that you should hire us so we can help you get this under
Correct.
Control.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So good. Indecision. Thank you.
Everyone got that?
What area block?
Gary does criminal defense.
Yes.
Typical scenario is what? Microphone.
Second time DWI, possession controlled substance felony, theft, assault.
Pick one.
Second time DWI.
Second time drinking and driving. Age?
25.
In their 20s?
Mm-hmm.
Typical client is in their 20s. What do they do for a living?
IT.
So they have a job?
Job.
What kind of income?
30.
30,000? And what's the consequence of not getting this taken care of?
Record, jail, affecting their future because of the criminal record.
They're basically buying their future.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Alfredo?
Objections, price.
Alfredo Lozano, immigration law firm. Focus on right now with Viviana, I like to focus on family immigration. So basically, maybe it's a gentleman that lives in the United States. He wants to petition his wife who lives here illegally.
Or the other way around.
Or the other way around. And one of them's going to have to eventually travel to their home country to ask for a waiver. So they might have to leave the country for a couple of days, maybe a couple
All right,
of weeks.
You're describing the legal solution.
Okay.
The client doesn't come to you with any of this.
Okay.
Right? From the client's perspective, what's their situation?
Cost.
Now, what's the client's, from the client's perspective, what's going on?
From the client's.
This whole thing you just said is completely invisible to the client, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you've never once had a client come in and describe their situation the way you just described it to us. We're not briefing a bunch of lawyers on how to practice law. We're teaching these people how to be normal human beings who can come in and role play that they are a client of your firm. They walk in and they're married and their spouse is not legal, but I'm legal, my spouse is not legal.
Correct.
Right? And how is this affecting us? Why do we give a shit about solving this problem?
Both of them are afraid that one of them might be detained by immigration.
So nothing's happened, we're just afraid.
Yeah, nothing's happened. One of them can't get a job, or one of them has to...
Presumably the illegal one.
The illegal one can't get a job.
Which is affecting the household income.
Household income.
Okay.
She may
so this is a fear-based decision.
Yeah.
Nothing's happened, no one's been arrested, no one's actually been deported. Okay.
Driving around maybe without a driver's license.
Driving around without a driver's license, afraid of everything that's going to happen.
Maybe
not being able to stand up for themselves in employment situations, can't get a legitimate job.
They've already
had
one or two
tickets.
Can't
live up to their full potential because they're illegal. What?
They already got maybe one or two tickets for driving without a driver's license.
Maybe got one or two tickets for driving without a driver's license, but it didn't result in an arrest or deportation. Okay. And do they have kids?
Two or three kids.
They usually have some kids. Where does the family live?
They all live in the U.S.
In-laws all live in the U.S.?
No. The person that's undocumented, most of their family lives in a different country.
Okay. What are their goals? What are their expectations? Are they realistic? Are they unrealistic?
They're realistic. Their goals are for the undocumented to eventually be able to get a driver's license, a work permit, to be here.
I just want my wife to be able to get a driver's license and get a job. That's basically what I want.
And be safe.
Be safe meaning?
She can't get deported.
Okay. So basically, understand, if you came to me and said, look, for $5,000, we could do all this legal mumbo jumbo that Alfredo just described. But for $6,000, we will bribe the judge illegally, and you'll get away with it. What do you think every client would go for? The $6,000 bribe. I'm trying to illustrate the point to all of you that no one gives a fuck about your legal services. Get over it. Don't be a lawyer. Be a human being in these role plays. I'm scared. My wife's going to get deported. What do I tell my kids? She can't get a driver's license. She keeps getting speeding tickets. I just want her to get a driver's license and be able to get a job and us to not have to worry about getting deported.
Yep.
Can you get her a driver's license? That's the thing. Get what we're after here? We'll work it out. We'll get, don't worry, I know how to do it. Get Kevin and Casey, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, get just members of our team in here.
Everything you're doing is awesome, but when we're standing face-to-face, we have to identify the dragon area as sort of the client.
Yeah, I got it. Just get some of our team in here so they can get training. Casey, you've been paying attention? Henry, you up for a role play? Chris? Chris is about to step out. Okay, we've got some more members of our team. Okay, you all understand where I'm coming from? See, I have an easier time training my team because they didn't go to law school. Allison. Okay, so Stephanie, Kevin, Casey, you guys are going to play clients. And you're listening to typical scenarios. So you can role play. Okay, come on in. Come on in. Have a seat. You need to make sure your phones are working. Sit down anywhere. You need to video these things. Kevin. Okay. Allison, typical client scenario.
Okay, so I'm Allison Williams. I own a family law firm that focuses on child abuse and neglect. An average client is in their late 20s to early 30s. They're coming in because their child was removed from them and placed in some form of foster care, either with a relative or a stranger. They're scared that they won't get them back. They're scared that they may be charged with a crime. They're scared that they're not going to be able to see their child with any level of frequency. They don't understand what the ramifications are. They say that they're innocent of any wrongdoing. They're insulted by being accused. And their focus is on getting their child back to them.
How did this whole thing happen?
The scenario would be that let's say it's a couple that comes in. We can only represent one or the other. But one is accused of domestic violence against the other. The cops were called to the home. A child was in the home at the time, whether they observed the incident or not. And as a result, the child was removed because one of the parties or both of them were charged with some type of offense.
Okay, couple, married or single, doesn't really matter. There was domestic violence between the mom and the dad. The child wasn't physically harmed, but the child was in the home when the whole thing happened. It's a two-story home. The child wasn't even on the same floor, didn't see it happen, didn't hear it happen, completely oblivious to what's going on, but got scooped up by child services and is now being kept in non-relative foster care, and I just want to get my kid back.
Right.
Yes? Okay. Are there what level of income, what level of education? Is there anything that's sort of we should be aware of?
They're high school graduates. They earn in the low 40s to mid 50s. They're what you would call the lower middle class. Certainly intelligent, not necessarily the highest achievers.
Okay, everyone got it? You both have it? Okay, you can channel this person.
I'm Jessica Stern, we have a crimmigration firm. So all of our clients are not US citizens and they either are facing pending criminal charges right now and they're worried about the consequences for the immigration status that they're gonna get deported because of it. Or the other alternative is like they've been maybe a permanent resident for a lot of years, but they have like some old drug conviction in their history or something, and they're getting ready to renew their green card or file for citizenship, and they're afraid that it's going to trigger deportation proceedings when they file. So there's some sort of criminal issue in the past or in the present.
So I'm living in the U.S. illegally.
Maybe, yeah.
And I've got some kind of criminal thing going on. Like a DUI or possession or assault and battery. Mm-hmm. I mean, what type of criminal stuff are we talking about?
Anything, but I would say maybe something more significant like a a drug conviction or a domestic violence conviction.
Okay, so something like that. I've been convicted or going to be convicted?
Either one, but do you want me to just pick one?
Pick
one. So I would say that for this scenario, I would say you're a permanent resident. You've been here with a green card. And you have a...
Hey, Eric, we need you to... You're going to role play. Thanks.
You're a permanent resident, so you're here legally with a green card. But maybe 15 years ago, you pleaded guilty to like a misdemeanor domestic situation. You didn't think it was a big deal. You got probation, but you pleaded guilty. And you're
why am I seeing you now?
Because...
What happened to bring me into your office?
My green card expired, and I have to file another one. And I've heard that if I file something with immigration and there's something on my record, that it might trigger deportation proceedings.
Everyone got it? What do I do for a living? How much do I make? What's my education? What's my marital status or family status?
You work for the Weather Channel, and you're not married, and you have a child.
And how much am I making?
$40,000.
All right, so I have a job making $40,000 a year with not married with no kid.
You have a kid. You
have not a kid. Married with a kid.
Yes.
And the kid's mother or father, here or not here?
We're friendly, but we don't talk that often.
And how much do they make?
$50,000.
Okay. Everyone follow?
I'm Chad Johnson, my wife, Randy Johnson, she's both the attorney and the dragon. And so she does estate planning for young families, so guardianships for the kids and wills, specifically targeting the young families. So probably 25 to 35 age range, married, 1 to 3 kids. Where we live, it's a pretty big mix between blue collar, white collar, so it could range from, you know, $25,000 a year that they're making up to $125,000. And so most of the time they don't know, they just know I have kids, I should have a will. That's all they typically know. They don't know anything about guardianships and, you know, what happens to your kid if something happens to you. They don't know anything about trust. They just know, I understand I probably need a will. And a lot of their experience and exposure to a will is like
And what caused them to come into the office in the first place? They just woke up one day and decided today's the day I should finally get a will?
Currently, well, since she just started this practice area, it's hard for me to know
this,
but most of it is her going out and doing outreach and doing a talk.
We saw her do a speech somewhere, and it made me think, man, I really need to get around to doing something about it.
Correct.
Got it?
Yeah. All right. And a lot of them will have, like, exposure to, like, LegalZoom and go, oh, well, it's $150 for a will, and then they come in, she says it's $4,000. And so I think sticker shock would be the main objection.
Okay. In the beginning, let's make sure that whoever's role-playing with her, everyone know Randy? Who knows Randy? Who knows Randy? Silky, you know Randy? Does Randy know you like, and Randy know each other really well? Okay. And you've got kids, so you role-play Randy. And you can channel this, right? Okay, good.
My name is Silky Sonnen. I have a family law firm representing men in divorce. Usually the reason why the men are there in our office is they've either found out that it's generally about the second or third time that their spouse has cheated on them, and now they want a divorce, or they find out that financially the wife hasn't been very forthcoming about what her real income is or what kind of retirements she has, and they're just looking for guidance about what's going to happen with their money, what's going to happen with the kids, who's going to get the kids. Generally, mom's the primary caregiver, so they're very concerned about, well, is the court going to just give custody to mom because I go to work every day and I haven't been, you know, as involved as mom. they're blue collar, police officers, firefighters, PG&E workers, and they make anywhere between $100,000 to $150,000.
Okay, and the spouse?
The spouse is generally a stay-at-home mom.
Okay, Eric, can you take that one? Okay, you'll channel that one. Okay, and we'll, everyone's gonna. I mean, women are gonna play men. Men are gonna play women. We're gonna be crossing all different roles and genders and everything. But the first one, I just want to try to keep it as accurate as we can. Charlie,
I've got to be on the phone with the judge at 3, so someone may have to play my first round. We have an upper end family law practice. Rich John would come in. He makes anywhere from 6 to 7 figures a year. They have one or multiple millions of dollars of assets. They have children. That ranges 30 to 60. The kids may be in private schools and high school level or going to private universities around the country. Country clubs, lots of cars, lots of perks from work. Their concerns are, one, if there's a business, a profession involved, they want to maintain that with some away from the hands of the other spouse. They want to make sure that they keep the majority of their retirement. If they can, they'd want to pay little or no alimony, which is usually an unreasonable expectation. If there are children involved, they want to have some kind of relationship. They'll start off saying they want 50-50 custody, even though that might not work. Their real concerns are, how much alimony am I going to pay, and how much do I have to pay in attorney's fees?
Okay. Eric, did you catch? You were out for part of that. High-end divorce firm, typically it's the man?
It could be man or woman.
Okay, man or woman, usually earning high 6 figures and more, typically a business owner, usually concerned about alimony and child support
and attorney's fees.
And their objections?
Objections would be they don't want, their real concerns are time and focus, because time and focus away from their business cost them lots of money. And they don't want to be bothered by demands for discovery or documents. There may be personality disorder in one or both.
Okay, you got it?
Could be both, or in one. Yes.
Like all of us high earners, we're all fucked up?
Absolutely.
Okay, so can everyone sort of play everyone? Good? All right, couple of tips. Just have this outline in front of you, okay? Opening, confirm time. If they haven't confirmed the time, get fidgety, mess with them. Don't be available for the whole time. Assuring everything will be kept confidential. Don't open up if they haven't given you a safe place to open up in. Body language, crossed arms, you know, not really, you know, real tight-lipped until they've told you that it's a safe place, that everything's going to be kept confidential. Don't mess with them on the agenda. Let them propose an agenda. Believe me, we got 2.5 days. We will become brutal on day 3. Right now, we just want to ease them into it. When they can take it, we will amp it up. Let them propose an agenda. Go along with the agenda. Don't screw with them too much on the agenda. They're going to ask you about the problem, kind of describe the problem to them in as much detail as, you know, in the way you normally would describe a problem to a lawyer. Let them guide you through time, money, reputation. Drop hints that there's stuff going on that they're not asking about. Don't make it obvious. Drop hints. Have a tone of voice. Keep kind of obsessing about this thing, but you're not coming out and saying the thing. They need to ask for the thing. You get what I'm saying? Have have in your mind time, money, reputation? What's more important to you, your time or your money or your reputation? What's first, second, and third? Just kind of have it in your mind and make them drag it out of you. Make them get clarity about it. And if they're proposing solutions that are not in the right priority, just keep objecting and drop hints about what your priority is. Don't tell them what the priority is. There's no right or wrong. Just, you know, have it in your mind and make them figure it out. And if they haven't figured it out, don't go along with their recommendations. Got it? Where you are now is where you are now. Just sort of make up a situation. Where you want to be is you want to be in a better place. Don't make it outrageous. Make it achievable. Where things are likely to end up if they don't help you, they should guide you through that, but follow them. Don't bust their balls too much yet. Believe me, if we do this right, you'll be laughing your ass off in 2 days, and you'll make a lot more money. But if we break them early, then we can't put them back together. Sorry?
No, I got to drive home, so I don't have him sobbing in the car with me all the way back.
You might want to send him home in an Uber. And then they're going to try to close. They're going to try to make a recommendation. And have your objections ready. You know, you've all had the experience of making sales. You've seen these objections. Don't want to spend the money. I got to talk about it. I got to think about it. I'm not sure. You know, all the stuff you normally see. Casey, Kevin, any questions? You good? Were you paying attention enough to participate in this round, or you were doing tech stuff? Okay, so you won't participate in this round. It's okay. Okay. And then we close, and we're done. Okay? I'm not sure if the acoustics in this room are going to work for everyone to be at these tables. So why don't you get yourself each to a table, and let's just kind of do a little test and everyone talk at once and see if it's... If it's too loud, then some of you might go outside and some of you might just stand here. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Are we going to be the filmers or both?
You are filming. You do not need to be on camera.
But we're using our phones.
You're using your phone to record them. We want to watch them sweat. And Charlie, you have to be on a phone?
Yeah, I've got a judge who's demanding my presence.
Okay, so you need to go. We have a room next door.
I'll be back.
Yeah, but we have a room next door you can go into. You can just go out this door, make a left, and it's a team room. Doesn't matter. Okay, we'll try it with everyone in the room at the same time. We'll see how the recordings turn out, and the next round we may end up having to separate people some more. Everyone ready? All right, so Casey, bring them in. And Chelsea and Chris, you're sitting this round out, yes? Okay. Kevin, you're sitting it out? If you feel like you're ready to do it. It's up to you. Probably, well, you could stay there. They'll just pull they'll pull the chair around the other side to you. All right, so bring them all in. All right.
Okay.
Randy, where's Randy? Randy, go to Silky. Randy, go to Silky. Who is with Charlie? Who's with Charlie? You're with Charlie. Wait, Eric, who did we say you're going to role play with?
You didn't say.
Okay, all of the dragons find a client. Eric, go to this table or go to a table. Raise your hand if you're a client. Raise your hand if you're a client. If you're a dragon, look for people with their hand up. Clients, hand up. Hand up. Eric, hand up. Hand up if you're a client. If you're a dragon looking for a client, look around. All right, before you start, everyone be quiet, please. Hey, everyone, I need you to be quiet for a minute. Quiet. Okay, everyone just be quiet. Raise your hand if you're a client. Raise your hand if you're a dragon without a client. There's only one dragon without a client. Pick a dragon. Here's your client. Wait, that's a dragon. Are you a dragon? Don't worry. Just everyone sit. If you're a dragon without a client, raise your hand. Who's your client?
I'm here. I just was sitting to not be distracted. I'm the third.
Okay, yeah, go. All right, so every dragon has a client. Every client has a dragon. Every dragon has a client, yes? If you're a client without a dragon, raise your hand. Client without a dragon. Only Henry. Okay, good. You can sit this one out. Next, there were a couple of firms that we had specifically wanted to have paired up. Who were they? You're supposed to be working with Adam's Dragon. That's Adam's Dragon? Yes? Right. Your name is Adam's Dragon. Can't remember too many names. And Randy and right are hooked up. Was there anyone else that we wanted to have like a specific? Who's with immigration? Okay. What is your practice area that you're selling in the green? Good. Swap. Okay, this first round, what time were we scheduled to take break? Sorry? Okay, this first round, we're going to go 20 minutes. When this 20 minutes is up, I'm going to come back. We're going to ring the bell. It means just wrap it up and be done. As soon as we're done, Kevin, will be up on the stage to answer your questions if you need help uploading your videos. Hold on, Renata, everyone, please pay attention. We got to get this set because we're going to be doing this for the next 2 days. Let's get this cadence working. I'm going to come back in 20 minutes. I'll be in a second. We're going to ring the bell. When I ring the bell, you're done. Just, you're done. Begin uploading your videos as soon as we say we're done. And while we're uploading the videos, that's when you go to your bathroom break. Don't go to the bathroom and then come back and say, I forgot to upload my video. Start the upload while you're going to the bathroom. Got it?